Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 83, and it's a Monday, February 19th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone, to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay stories, geek news, and bizarre topics. And we usually do our weekend updates. Ray, I just came from North American Bear Weekend. Sorry, that's the whole name of the event in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a lots of bears. Wish you were there, Ray.
Why would I be at a bear run?
No, you don't like bear runs anymore.
I'm a twink.
You're a twink with a glandular problem.
Glandular problem.
So actually, this trip was a surprise from Mike and it was his Christmas gift. Let's go to North America, to NAB weekend. Okay, let's go. So we went there, and then he tricked me into going to West Virginia. Although I was kind of thinking of going to North American Bear Weekend.
Well, that's how most people end up West Virginia. They get tricked.
They get tricked. That's how they actually end up in a different state. So yeah, I got to go to West Virginia for a while, and it's my 49th state, which is exciting because, yeah, one more state to go. So Kentucky was the 48th, and then West Virginia is the 49th. So we'll see what happens. So yeah, we drove around Moorhead, where Mike used to work in Kentucky. So that was a good adventure, and we all went to the run. Oh my God, it was really fun, Ray. I wish Devin and the Jay were there. They would have enjoyed it too because they wanted to go to that event too.
Yeah.
And the run was pretty good. It was really well organized, and the food was good too. They had barbecue, they had hamburgers, they had hot dogs at night, they had the nachos, they had different varieties every night. They really feed you at night, you know, when you're after dancing or having fun outside. The costumes were great too. Yeah, and there was the theme was circus, so everything is about circus. So they had trivia.
Were you a clown?
No, there were some clowns. Yeah, there were some clowns. Holy, would have loved it, right? There was a good variety of food there, which is great, and lots of Did you see? I showed you the picture of the pool of bears, right?
No.
No. Well, it's more like the swimming pool there was full of bears at some point at Saturday, and then oh my God, I sent you a picture of the pool that being maintained. It's like
you sent the picture of the pool's been having its yearly cleaning.
Yes, it happens every bear run. After the bear run, their annual cleaning, they clean it up. Hey, it's the best time to clean it up after the bears. And they also had the
they got to make sure some itchy scratchies not floating around in there.
Yeah, and you saw the levels of the water, right? Oh my God, it's really halfway. That's how much water they lost for some reason when everybody left. And congratulations to Panda. His name is Panda. That's his running name. He won the North American Bear 2018. He's the North American Bear contestant who won. And he's from Hawaii. He's a chaser. And he won because, you know, he was just worked really hard on fundraising and talking to other people and interacting and selling himself to other attendees. And everybody liked him. And he won. Ray, a nun bear, won.
Well, if you're prostituting yourself to people, it helps.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, he was considered, a chaser. And Mike says he even looks like me, only he's younger, I guess. So, yeah, he's...
Well, most people are younger than you, Maynard.
Oh, shut up. Okay. You're so mean. Okay, so, shout out to Michael from Tayona, Pennsylvania. He was there. Oh, Mike. You know, remember Mike?
Yeah.
And then Kai and Rick, Kegger and Rodney, A.A. Ron were there. They were there. Then shout out to you guys. And also Gary from Drench Fur. Yeah, I got to chat with him. He was looking
Gary was there? Oh, my
Gary
God.
Gary was there. Gary was there.
I'm sure she enjoyed going to bear runs, but she's not running the show.
Yes. He looked so relaxed. Gary looked so relaxed that he's just there attending the run. Just he did have a cocktail party, so that was good.
Yeah.
Pretty yummy. And also Travis from Bear Pride. I got to talk to Travis Tates. He's the one of the organizers of Bear Pride in Chicago. It's pretty cool to see him after years. Oh my God, I haven't seen him for years. And of course, Kelly from Tayona, Pennsylvania. Wow. So yeah, I got to meet Kelly. He was Michael brought him along. So hey, shout out Kelly. Yeah. What about you? What have you been doing, Ray?
I lead a very boring life. I did nothing this weekend but watch Black Panther.
How was that? How did you like it?
Actually, I think that's so far, I think it's the best Marvel movie so far.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't get I haven't seen it yet. Probably this week or at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but it was really good. And that's about to wrap up my weekend.
Should I watch it in 3D or just normal?
I just watched it normal. I don't mess with that 3D stuff because most of the stuff's not filmed in 3D.
That's true. Were there any bears in the movie?
I don't know if they were. They were pixelated and I didn't notice them. There were some rhinoceroses.
Rhinoceroses? Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. So I'll probably watch it this week. We'll see at some point. All right. Let's go to our articles, Ray. So let's go to the gay. Or should I take this for you?
You can take the first one.
Okay. I'll take this one. So guys, I want to take this one for one thing. It really, I don't know, it hits close to home, Ray. Because it's from South Carolina. Okay, so South Carolina legislators' bill defines marriage and everything else is a parody marriage. If it's not a straight marriage, it's a parody marriage. So that's how they consider it. So the day after Valentine's Day, six South Carolina legislators introduced a bill to the House that would amend the definition of what constitutes marriage in the Palmetto State. The Marriage and Constitution Restoration Act was introduced February 15th and would draw a line between what its sponsors deem as marriage, in quotes, and what is considered parody marriage. According to the bill, parody marriage means any form of marriage that does not involve one man and one woman. Marriage means a union of one man and one woman. So that's what they're saying. So by that definition, any LGBT marriage would be a parody marriage that wasn't well received by Jeff March, president of South Carolina Pride. Their bill would prohibit the state from respecting, endorsing, or recognizing any parody marriage policy or policies that treat sexual orientation as a suspect class and for other purposes, according to its summary on scstatehouse.gov. Essentially, the bill would make it to South Carolina would not legally recognize any marriage not between one man and one woman. It's true that people can do whatever they want in their own homes, but they can't force that on the state, Long said, according to Watch.com. The bill goes on to read, marriage between a man and a woman arose out of the nature of things, and marriage between a man and a woman is natural, neutral, and non-controversial, unlike parody forms of marriages. So, anyway, so just to shortcut this, the bill was referred to Committee on Judiciary on February 15th. Should it be passed into law as currently written, it would mean South Carolina would no longer respect, endorse, or recognize any form of parody marriage policy. South Carolina would no longer enforce, recognize, or respect any policy that treats sexual orientation as a suspect class. South Carolina will continue to enforce, endorse, and recognize marriages between a man and a woman. So we're not trying to impersonate anyone here. We are trying to be the equal, of everyone here. What do you mean equal? It's not even equal. It's written with hate. I can't imagine there are state officials that put this in writing. So yeah. There you go, Ray. There's your state where you were born in. Born from.
Well, it's a red state, so they're still being stupid, so they can't help it.
Okay, so let me ask you, Ray. Do you know anyone at all in South Carolina who actually got married in South Carolina?
Nope, not off the top of my head. But the only people I keep in touch with in South Carolina really is my family. So.
Yeah, so you don't know any. Like you said many times before, that you were the only gays, and well, back then.
Yeah. I think I was the only gay in South Carolina.
Oh, really? It sure feels that way, I'm sure.
Yeah. All the rest of them were married.
Not according to Grindr. Maybe Grindr would tell more. Which ones are gay? All right, let's go to another story for gay, Ray.
Okay. Pennsylvania pastor insists he was counseling nude man bound with rope in parked car. A Pennsylvania pastor insisted there is an innocent explanation for him sitting in a parked car with a naked man who is bound with rope. George Nelson Gregory of Munhall was cited about 11:30 p.m. Friday after police investigated a report of a suspicious vehicle parked in a homestead neighborhood, reported KDKA-TV. The homeowner told police that the man was wearing no clothing, got out of the car, and he was concerned because it was parked within sight of his daughter's window. Officers found the 61-year-old Gregory sitting in the back seat and another man completely nude and bound with nylon rope sitting in the front seat. The pastor told police they occasionally met up to play with each other, and the other man agreed to their activity was consensual. I have nothing to hide. I did nothing wrong, Gregory told the TV station after his arrest for open lewdness and indecent exposure. He said police were investigating whether anyone in the car was intoxicated or unconscious, but Gregory said he was acting as a pastor before his arrest. I was counseling a young man with a drug problem, Gregory said. It did turn strange, but it wasn't my doing, okay? And I was adamant I'm not participating in that way, and that's when the police pulled up and they assumed things, but I'm standing by my story. It's not true. Gregory said he has worked with the man for several years, and he and his wife have tried to get him help. I won't deny that he began to take his clothes off and proposition me, but I will deny on a stack of Bibles with God as my witness that I did nothing, Gregory said.
Right.
The pastor said he was fully clothed, so he doesn't understand why he was charged with open lewdness. The other man was also cited in the incident, but it is not clear what charges he faces. So, who tied the... My question is, who tied the man in the front seat up?
The priest, or the pastor, I mean.
So...
Yeah, so... How did he get there in the first place in that situation?
So, my question is, if you're a pastor and you have to tie people up to listen to your sermons, you're not a very good pastor.
Good logic there, Ray. You have to tie them down so they could listen to you. Yeah, it's really funny that this should be bizarre, Ray. Well, I guess it's gay. It's obviously gay, right?
It is so gay.
It is so gay. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, maybe there's a follow-up. I'd like to see the follow-up on this one and what kind of charges the pastor ever had. Yeah, so... Yeah, what is the most logical explanation if you see a pastor not naked and the naked guy in the same car tied up? So that's kind of thing that...
But what gets me is in the opening sentence, he says... let's see, where'd it go? The pastor told the police they occasionally met up to play with each other, and the other man agreed to their activity was consensual. So, if they meet up to play with each other, then what the hell's going on?
I don't know. What the hell's going on with these guys? So, yeah, I hope there's a follow-up story in this one and some other explanation. Yeah. So the most logical there to me is really they're really playing around.
Yeah. I'm sending him my thoughts and prayers.
That's right. Counseling. Give him some counseling. Okay, let's go to the geek, Ray. The geek is really important because it concerns porn. All right?
So you know what the internet's for.
The internet is for porn. So in December, so the repeal of net neutrality could kill independent porn. In December, the Federal Communications Commission voted to kill net neutrality, the policy that safeguards a free and equal internet and allows us to all tweet, like, email, surf, learn, bank, and fuck. Regardless of interest of circumstances. When the decision was announced, a number of outlets reported on how this might threaten that many feel is the internet's primary purpose, the free consumption of porn. Yeah, that's exactly right, Ray. The internet is for porn. So understandably, Pornhub, with its 75 million daily visitors, positioning it as the 36th most visited website on the internet, was radically opposed. No one in the porn industry ever yells, slower, slower, slower. We're much more accustomed to faster, 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 Corey Price.
No, you're more accustomed to, oh God, oh God, oh God.
That's right. Corey Price, VP at Pornhub, offered winkingly to the Motherboard in June. The democratization of porn has been great for the customer, who now has the ability to access basically any keywordable act. Oh my god, that is scary. Relationships or fetish at any hour of the day or night, and great for companies like Pornhub, which profit mainly from ads, buying up competitors, and posting massive amounts of pirated material. At the same time, it has disproportionately hurt porn makers and performers who are forced to work longer hours and produce more content only to have their material stolen by tube sites. The onslaught of piracy led to the launch of the Pay for Your Porn campaign in 2014. And perhaps expectedly, porn performers, especially self-employed creators like cam performers, are also one of the most vulnerable communities facing the looming repeal of net neutrality. At this year's Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas, many were happily unaware of the threat to businesses, with some declining to comment because they felt they didn't have a good understanding of the issue, and others acting vaguely but not overly alarmed when briefly explained it to them. But for some, there was a real palpable sense of anger towards a government agency gleefully scrapping protections that would destroy their means of earning a living. So it's a long article, so I'm just skipping a little. So Jay Phillips is the CEO and president of IWantEmpire.com. It's the first time I heard the site, right? A company that is, in his words, a culmination of what happens when artists take control of their future. In my words, it's a group of sites that serve as a platform and distribution channel for independent porn artists, including I Want Clips, I Want Custom Clips, and I Want Phone Chat. When we chatted at AEE, Phillips said he wasn't particularly worried about the fate of the empire should ISPs begin violating net neutrality. He was worried, however, about the artists. Okay, this is important. For the independents, we have over 10,000 independent artists. So they call porn actors artists now, I guess. We are one of their methods of content distribution, he told me. It's kind of like the Dairy Farmers Association. There's unity, there's power in numbers, but as an individual brand, a lot of artists also have their own independent membership sites where they're selling content as well, and I worry about their opportunities. So porn is the one that really drives a lot of things, Ray. So we did talk about this a long time ago, Ray, about porn. They will always find a way. They will always find a way to get around this net neutrality crap. And yeah. They are smart. And what can I say? People from the porn industry are really smart, and they know things how to get around. I don't know technically how right now, but they'll find a way. Maybe they make their own network or something like that. Maybe. So, porn. Would you run a porn company again, Ray, at this day and age? It lost its appeal already. Because it's just way too many to compete.
Well, everybody and their mother's doing it. So it's kind of like back when we were trying to do it, internet porn was just coming up. So. Mm-hmm. But now everybody has internet porn. Yeah. I mean, people don't buy DVDs and stuff hardly anymore, or and stuff like that. It's mostly all online content.
Yeah, and I still get those, Bear Films? Bear Films, some of their broadcast email.
Yeah.
Selling their DVDs and stuff. They still do that. I guess it's still profitable. Maybe not. I think it's more profitable just do it all online, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the bizarre, Ray.
Okay, this week's bizarre. Parasitic worms found in a woman's eye. First case of its kind. An Oregon woman's infection marks the first time on record that an eye worm species normally found in cattle has been seen in humans. Abby Beckley was salmon fishing in Alaska when she felt something in her left eye. It felt like it was an eyelash, like an eyelash is poking you, she says. But try as she might, the 26-year-old could not find a hair or anything else in her eye. The feeling wouldn't go away, and after about 5 days, Beckley was frustrated. So one morning I woke up and I was like, if this is the last thing I do, I'm going to get whatever the heck is in my eye out of there, Beckley says. She screwed up her courage and pulled back her eyelid and pinched the inflamed skin underneath and gave it a yank. When she looked down, she says, "There was a worm on my finger." Lucky is now the first person in the world known to have been infected with a particular species of eye worm called
Thalassia gullosa.
Gullosa. The parasitic worm had been seen in cattle's eyes, a normal pit stop for in its life cycle, but never before in a human's. What's more, hers is only the 11th case of Thalassia eye worms of any species recorded in U.S. history. The last known case, researchers reported today in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, happened more than 20 years ago. Bakley didn't know any of this as she stared at the worm on her finger in the summer of 2016. The small, nearly transparent creature wiggled for a few seconds, then it died. She had seen similar-looking worms in salmon, so Bakley wondered if she'd somehow accidentally transferred one to her eye. But the more worms started to appear and became clear, this is a bigger problem. "I was just pulling them out, so I knew there were a lot," she says. Bakley pulled 5 more worms from her eye by the time she made it to a doctor in Ketchikan, Alaska. The doctors there were legitimately freaked out, Beckley says, but they didn't know what the worms were or if they were dangerous. Worried about the proximity of the creepy crawlies to her brain, Beckley decided to return to Portland, where her boyfriend's father, a doctor, prepared the medical staff at Oregon Health and Science University for her arrival. At the hospital, they basically rolled out the red carpet, Beckley says. Doctors and interns gathered, hoping to see the rare eye worms. They seemed a bit skeptical at first, she says, and suggested that maybe what looked like a worm was just really mucus. But Beckley kept insisting that the worms were in her eye. "I kept thinking, show yourselves. You have to show yourselves," she says. For the next half hour, she sat with hospital staff staring in her eye, waiting for a worm to appear. "I'll never forget when the doctor and intern saw it wiggle across my eye," Beckley says. "He freaked out and jumped back. And I was like, oh my God, I just saw it. I just saw it." As for Beckley, she handled it all with remarkable grace and stride and is incredibly strong, says Aaron Bernuner, the infectious disease specialist at OHSU who treated her. All right, the mystery worm. Ophthalmologists managed to snag one of the worms from Buckley's eye. Although it broke in half, they sent pieces to U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That worm and several more pulled from eye made their way to Richard Bradbury, who leads the CDC's Parasitology Reference Diagnostic Laboratory, the nation's primary source for identifying rare parasites. They analyzed nearly 66,700 mystery samples last year alone. "Well, you don't know what it is, it ends up on our table," Bradbury says. "All these parasites are rare, and this was an extremely rare," says of Beckley's eye worm. He had to dig out a German research paper from 1928 to finally identify the species, making it the third species of Thalassia to turn up in a human eye, along with one species in Asia and one in California. The worms are carried by face flies, which feed on the tears of cattle, horses, and dogs. You may have seen them persistently buzzing around an animal's eyes. If you get over the horror of eye worms and face flies, they are a fascinating example of parasite survival. First of all, Bernardo says, eye worms can't survive without face flies. The worm larvae can mature only inside a face fly's digestive tract and organs, and then they find their way to the fly's mouth parts. When the fly stands on an eyeball and begins to drink the tears, the late-stage worm larvae climb out of the fly's proboscis and onto the eye. There, they finish their transformation into adults and produce more larvae, which must get picked up by other face fly or the worms face death. In Beckley's eyes, there was no way for them to continue their life cycle, so they all just died, Bernier says. It's still a mystery exactly how the worms got into Beckley's eye, but Bonner suspects it may have happened when she passed through cattle pastures. Now, the big question is, could this happen to you? In one bit of good news, the worms don't burrow into your eyeballs itself and instead take up residence on the soft tissue under the eyelids and around the eye socket. Once in an eyeball, though, there aren't many treatment options. Sometimes antiparasitic drugs are used to kill them, but these can worsen inflammation. Do not panic that you're going to get eye worms, Bernuer says. Not only is it extremely rare for a person to get a face fly, it's even far more rare for flies to stick around long enough to deposit worm larvae. The best prevention, Brad, is just to shoo flies away, and if one gets in the eye, remove it right away. As long as you're doing what you would normally do, it should be fine, he says. Beckley's worms didn't leave any lasting damage, and she says her vision is fine a year and a half later. She had trouble even remembering which eye the worms had been in. And in case you're wondering, like I did, she didn't keep any. I did not want to spend any more time with those things than I needed to.
Yeah. It's kind of gross. I think.
First one?
I think she did something unhygienic. She did something like probably, I don't know, sleep with her eyes open or something. I don't know. It's got to be something.
I don't know. She might have got a flat eye or something, or something was missed. It's hard to say because they have to actually be landed on the eye to get them.
So yeah, that
who knows what happened.
Yeah, that lands on the eye and actually it's enough time to deposit the larva. Yeah. And I don't know. It's just, don't you think it's like lice that you catch it sometimes if you get from someone? I don't know. It's,
well, I mean, you have to be around this specific type of fly. It has to land in your eye. It has to regurgitate the larvae on the worms on you and all this stuff. So I don't know. It was just one of those weird things.
It's weird.
So,
okay. So I guess that's the story. I mean, it's just, ugh, gross. I didn't get to see. Did you get to see the pictures of the, at least on this guy, on this limb?
You could hardly tell. You could hardly see the worm. It was clear. That's why they were hard to find.
Yeah, probably if you see a sample on YouTube for cows, because it has to be being cattle, you'd be able to see it.
So,
all right. I guess that's the show. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.